You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins of That podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. And you definitely want to make sure you subscribe to the Miami Herald because we've got a jam-packed episode, actually recording Tuesday morning instead of our normal Monday evening. We had a little bit of technical difficulties on my end. However, it was mainly because
of my clotter right now.
Yeah, we're working through that as well. But also, you know, had to delay the recording because it was a busy first day of the legal tampering period in the NFL. As of Monday at noon, teams were able to enter, negotiate deals, handshake agreements, start agreeing to terms. And boy, it was a busy day for the South Florida team. Looked a little bleak. The news coming out of South Florida was not good at first. A lot of guys saying their goodbyes, granted some big deals, some well-earned deals to leave the Dolphins, which I know brought a little angst to fan base. It was something that we kind of predicted and foreshadowed.
We told you last week. Don't be angst.
Don't say we
didn't
tell you.
We told you last week.
But
you weren't listening. You missed it. That's on you.
So a little bleak to start off. But the Dolphins, you know, they were making some moves as well. You know, they lost a couple guys, but they also agreed to terms with a couple guys. They also made some moves to make sure that they can actually sign those guys, restructuring some contracts to become cap compliant ahead of the start of the new league year at 4 p.m. So we're going to get into all of that, kind of recapping day one, and then look ahead to what other moves the Dolphins could possibly make. Hey, if there's some breaking news as we record, we'll pivot. We'll get into that. But again, let's start with, you know, I think what was probably the biggest news of the day, which was, you know, kind of the first news of the day, which was, you know, kind of that the mass exodus, the free agency raid, the purge, however you want to call it. As expected, you know, some top Dolphins free agents did agree to terms to sign elsewhere. The two most notable were some really big deals for some homegrown players that the Dolphins drafted. Christian Wilkins, he won the lottery. He bet and he won. He is agreed to terms with a 4-year, $110 million deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. $84 million, I believe. Make sure I get that right. $80+ million guaranteed. I mean, he was the top defensive tackle on the market. You know, there were some deals a couple of days ago that only boosted his market. And he cashed in. Rob Hunt, right guard, 5 years, $100 million with the Carolina Panthers, $63 million guaranteed, as well as Andrew Van Ginkle and Brandon Jones. Van Ginkle, he's going to reunite with Brian Flores in Minnesota, signing a 2-year deal, $20 million with the Vikings. And then Brandon Jones, who we all know was a full-time starter a couple years back, dealt with the big knee injury, came back and started some games this past year. He's getting cashing out too, 3 years, $20 million to head to the Denver Broncos. So the Dolphins, all in all, they essentially lose four guys, all homegrown talents over the past couple of years. Three defensive contributors, and obviously the big offensive lineman with Rob Hunt. We'll start with that. And, you know, I don't think that was much surprise. I think the Brandon Jones deal surprised me a bit. Like, I know Barry texted me, you know, because we've been in constant communication since yesterday, coordinating our coverage, our blogs, our online stories. And he mentions Brandon, and I'm like, oh, they're re-signing Brandon Jones because he had talked about there being interest. And then I look, and I'm like, oh, wait, he got a deal, and he got a bag. I think that was a bit of a surprise. I think that was the guy who I thought that there was a role for him to return. We weren't expecting Christian Wilkins and Rob Hunt to leave. Those deals definitely surprised me when I first saw them. But this is what happens on the first day of free agency. The teams that get money, They put out a high bid, a high offer out there. But those, I mean, when you, especially when the details and the specifics of the numbers came out, it was clear that the Dolphins never had a chance. You know, obviously they tried to get a deal with Wilkins done before the tag deadline. They tried to get a deal with Rob Hunt done. He wanted to test free agency and for good reason. But just looking at the breakdowns of the cap hits, like $30 million next year for Christian Wilkins, $25 million for Rob Hunt. I mean, I tweeted or put a tweet out a couple of tweets out yesterday. Like the Dolphins just aren't in a position right now to do that. Like we talk about the cap and whether the cap is real and you know whatnot. They're just not in a position to do that. You know, I said they have 30 players under contract next year. And they have about, you know, $65 million they're gonna have to use to rebuild this roster. So like they really weren't in a position to give out these high price contracts. We talked about, I mentioned it last week. I think that this was kind of the result of some of these big moves that they've made the past couple of years, you know, getting a Bradley Chubb, getting a Jalen Ramsey, getting a Tyreek Hill. I think it kind of sped up the timeline. Eventually, like they were such an influx of young talent that at some point, like you're not gonna be able to pay everybody. But I think that, you know, maybe kind of going all in the past couple of years, that sped up the process. I think that the frustration for Dolphins fans, I think that honestly it should be like a point of pride that, you know, you've been able to develop players who are highly coveted. You know, you'd like to keep these guys, but that doesn't always happen. But I think the frustration is that I think the frustration is that that core wasn't able to, you know, get something substantial in terms of playoff success. So it's like, hey, these guys are leaving, but they weren't even able to, you know, help us get to our ultimate goal. So I mean, it is unfortunate, but I mean, I don't think that anything was really a surprise. Like the Dolphins weren't going to be in a position to get into a bidding war. Like they just weren't, and I think that we saw that very clearly with these guys departing yesterday.
And we, as we said last week, and you know, we talked about you can't let Christian Wilkins hit the free agency market and test the market because you know what's going to happen. You know, somebody's going to make an offer a lot of money. He's going to go get his money, as he should. And you know, I don't think Dolphins fans should. They're not Chris Greer. There is no pride to them that they. Oh, you drafted well and developed well. You know, you really did a good job. You can spot that talent. You know, there's no pride to them for that. You know, they want their team to win games and win playoff games and get further into the playoffs than they have since, I don't know, like
Thousand.
you know, 2000, I think it, yeah, 2000. They won the playoff game against the Colts and got to the divisional round, and the Raiders, you know, knocked them out. But yeah, there's no pride to that. You know, the thing is, and what it kind of brings home is something that, you know, we kind of maybe alluded to a little bit last week, the last couple of weeks, that the Dolphins window actually, you know, that we thought was, you know, these few years where they're going to have Tua and Tyreek and Waddle and everything. Well, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, that window, you know, it might just slam shut, and now you drive. You better hope they haven't boarded up that window, because it's a very different defense. You've got, you know, Wilkins is out, X is gone. Even if you say, okay, X is
Jerome
playing, slip the
Baker,
last couple, Jerome Baker's gone, and you've got Jordan Phillips coming off, you know, major injuries.
still look a lot. A lot of question
Yeah,
marks on the defense, even though they
it's
made
gonna
some
look a lot
additions that we're
different
going to
early
talk
on.
about.
And so, yeah, but yeah, nothing that happened yesterday or the handshakes reached or anything, it was a surprise. We, you know, you knew it. You know, the Dolphins, you know, they didn't have the, they don't have the money. And so, like we said, you know, you don't have the money, you can't buy a Park Place or Boardwalk.
Yeah, I
Somebody else
mean,
can.
yeah, I mean, In regards to the window, yeah, I mean, I was always of the belief, like, I know a lot of people said, like, there's a 2-3 year window. I never believed that. Like, I looked, like, I looked, you know, I'm not, I, all I, all I, again, I always say, I'm just a guy who spends all of his time on over the cap. But, like, if you just kind of looked at the breakdown of the contracts that were coming up, the cap hits and whatnot, like, I always was of the belief that, you know, 2023 was like the year that was the 1 year for this current group. Like, when you get when they got Jalen Ramsey and they made some of the moves they made that last offseason, I was like, all right, this is the 1 year for this group as constructed. You know, like, you're not gonna be able to keep everybody. And the Dolphins could have, like, if they were really wanted to run it back with this current group, they could have squeezed it out. Like, they could have done, you know, the salary cap conversions, the base salary conversions, and pushed it down. And, like, really, they if they really wanted to, they could have with this current group. But it was clear that, you know, if they did that, then the following year was going to be kind of the year of reckoning. And you could say that maybe this is the offseason of reckoning, so to speak, because they've lost so many guys. But I characterized it as a soft reset. Like, there's still talent on the roster. Like, you still got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, you still got Tua, you still got Teron Armstead, who's coming back and is gonna, he already reworked his deal, so he's gonna get some cap savings. You got Achane on defense, you know, you still got Ramsey, Javon Holland, you still have these guys, and hopefully, you know, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are able to come back at some point, you know, for 2024 and look like themselves. Obviously, they're gonna be coming back from injury, so you want to temper expectations. But I said it's a soft reset because you still have the talent there, but unfortunately, you know, this is the cost of doing business in the NFL. Like, you know, when you pay a lot of guys and then you have some guys who are up for contracts, sometimes you aren't able to, you know, come to an agreement. Sometimes you aren't able to find common ground and reach the finish line. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you have some quality homegrown. I think that's really the frustration. Like, again, going back to what I said before, that's the frustration about it. Because you have these guys who, you know, Greer has, like, for all the criticisms, like, all those four guys that left, those are success stories that you can say, like, Chris Greer drafted them, Dolphins, you know, developed them, they produced very and they played very good football. But now they're leaving. It'd be different if, you know, the Dolphins had a Super Bowl to show for, or they had some playoff wins to show for. It's like, all right, well, at least we got something. Like, at least we can say, like, we really got something out of their play. But there's nothing to show for. And I think that's the frustration. Like, literally, there's literally nothing to show for from, you know, I wrote
Not they're
yesterday,
not even division title.
Christian Wilkins is one of the faces of the rebuild in 2019. You know, the first, like, real pick of the Chris Greer era, I guess you could say. You know, him having, like, full autonomy over football operations, and, you know, he leaves 5 years later, and you don't have a playoff win, you don't have division title, you don't have anything. So I think that's the frustration there. But again, I think it's a soft reset. Like, on the Dolphins, they better. You know, we're gonna talk about some of these additions, but on the Dolphins, a better team this morning than they were yesterday morning before some of these guys signed deals elsewhere. Like, no, I don't think anyone can argue that. Like, there's no way anyone could reasonably argue that they are a better team today and right now than they were yesterday when they had, you know, when they still had Christian Wilkins, you know, Andrew Van Ginkle, Brandon Jones, and Rob Hunt. But I think that there is an opportunity to retool. We've already seen them do that. And hey, I mean, get used to having comp picks, compensatory picks, because the Dolphins haven't had any for like 4 years since 2020. It looks like they're going to get a couple. You know, they still have some guys who might sign deals elsewhere. It looks like they're going to get a pair of third round picks for losing Wilkins and Hunt. And Greer said, like, hey, we got to have an influx of young talent at some point. We can't just keep on making these big swings. So now this is the time to get that young talent again. You know, again, it's kind of periods and transitions and you know, kind of eras. You know, they had the early rebuild era. They unfortunately weren't able to get much out of that. Some of these guys left. Now it's time to get some stock up some picks, get some young guys in there, and hopefully you can develop them and do what you weren't able to do with some of these other guys.
Yeah, I mean it. That's the only thing you can do because, but when you make the trade for Bradley Chubb, when you make, you trade for Tyreek Hill, you trade for Jalen Ramsey. That's not. Those aren't. Those aren't. They're big. It does say you're all in. It says you're all. It
Oh,
says,
for sure.
or it says you're all in now.
For
Not
sure.
I'm we're all in for the next 5 years, next 4 years. This says now, because you know they're not dumb. This is their job. They ran the numbers. I'm quite sure they were sitting there going, "We probably need to get something, or you know, out of this season, or we're gonna have to go to you know Plan D." You know, because I'm sure plans. You know, they used up plans B and C during the season or during the play. You know, and so, but I it's interesting that the side of the ball that appears to be most affected is the side of the ball that's, you know, that wasn't so identified with the Dolphins most of last season, but was the side of the ball that played okay in those games against teams that, you know, yeah, later in the season, and mostly against teams that you're going to have to beat at some point. Yeah. You know, so because the offense didn't look great against Philly, didn't look great. I mean, they you know, Dolphins pulled out a win against Dallas, a solid team win, I think.
That was really a defensive led. That was really a right. defensive led win.
Right. Yeah, the Dolphins got enough points, you know. And certainly the, you know, in the playoffs, you know, you can make all the noise you want about, you know, oh, it was really, 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 really cold. Well, yeah. And it was so cold that it was so cold that it doesn't matter where you're from. Kansas City's not used to playing in that. Nobody on either side of the ball is used to playing that. And, you know, what happened on that day? Well, Kansas City's offense, I mean, admittedly, they've got the quarterback of this generation, but they figured out how to get enough points while the Dolphins couldn't take advantage of their defense, keeping them in the game. So, you know, I think that's kind of a, it's almost, it almost feels cautionary. It almost feels like we're a little bit like, wait a minute, did, you know, as the defense needs to retool and everything, it's almost like, oh my goodness, did we get suddenly thrown back into the Marino era again, where we have this offense that looks like it might be really, really good, except for certain games, and a defense that we might not be able to rely on. You know, that was one thought I had yesterday as I was listening to everybody, you know, go get their money.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's definitely a little bit of a transition for the defense. And obviously, I think we have to add to that, you know, they have a new defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver, who's going to shape this unit in his vision. You know, they did release, you know, Emmanuel Agba, Jerome Baker, Xavier Howard before this all started. So, like, in total, they've lost about a half dozen guys who have contributed to this defense in some way or another the past couple of years. Some of that was, you know, expected for cap-related reasons. Some of it was just, you know, again, like Brandon Jones, like guys just leaving, Christian Wilkins, like they get better deals and it's time for them to go. But yeah, I mean, that unit will definitely be remodeled. It's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. You know, again, they made some deals that we're going to talk about soon. But the work is definitely not done. The Dolphins have a lot of holes to try to plug and to try to, you know, fix. And as they retool this offense, and it's really this team as a whole after, you know, this kind of this first, you know, free agency raid, as I describe it. All right, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back on the other side of things, as I said, it was not all doom and gloom for the Dolphins after seeing some of their top players leave. They also brought in some reinforcements, agreed to terms with some guys. We're going to get into some of those moves as well. See what might be next for the Dolphins as we're on day two of the legal tampering period before the new league starts on Wednesday. Stay locked with us, and we'll be back soon.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins of Death podcast with David Neal talking all things Dolphins. Now, in the first half, we broke down the kind of depressing start to free agency in the opening hours. The Dolphins losing a quartet of contributors over the past quartet.
I was thinking, is that all? Is it not a quint? Are we sure it's not a quintet or a sextet?
Definitely four. You know, losing four guys who are set to sign elsewhere, four homegrown talents. But you know, I think that the mood and the tenor of Dolphins Twitter kind of changed. You know, in the second half of the day, the Dolphins, no, they weren't just twiddling their thumbs. They were making a lot of moves. They agreed to terms with three players, a pair of inside linebackers, and they might have just gotten a new starting center, you know, start on the defensive side of the ball, where they first signed Anthony, or they reportedly agreed to terms with former Browns linebacker Anthony Walker on a one-year deal. He's a local local guy, played high school in Miami Gardens, from Miami. So he looked like, hey, maybe that was the Jerome Baker replacement after he was released, and it looks like he's not coming back. But then a couple hours later, it's like, nah, the Dolphins are adding a second inside linebacker, and they added another one in Seattle's Jordan Brooks. They reportedly agreed to a three-year, $30 million deal. And if you just kind of look at follow the money, he definitely appears to be kind of the front runner to replace Jerome Baker, former first-round pick, just 26 years old, three straight years of 100 tackles, 100-plus tackles, career-high four and a half sacks this past season. So he definitely kind of fits the mold for, you know, the Jerome Baker replacement, if you want to call it that, especially as, you know, Anthony Weaver tries to get, like, his guys that fit his system. Then they rounded the day off by signing a really interesting offensive lineman from Tennessee Titans and Aaron Brewer, who looks like he could be the replacement at center for Connor Williams. Again, Connor Williams is a free agent. The Dolphins said that they were going to give him time as he rehabs from his ACL tear. And his agent said as well that he might take some time. But it looked like they may not have waited to get a replacement. Brewer, was formerly an undrafted free agent, came into the league as an undrafted free agent in 2020. But he's been a full-time starter the past 2 years, and he had his first full season as a center this past season. So it looks like for him, you know, he kind of has the athleticism that the Dolphins kind of covet. You know, he's a little bit smaller, 6'1", 295, but, you know, I think that he looks like he kind of fits the mold for what they're looking for in their offensive lineman. Did anything stick out to you from those – that trio of moves on the first day?
I actually like the going and getting the center, because I the whole Connor Williams thing. I'm like, well, he might need to take it some time. And they're like, no. He can operate on his clock, but the Dolphins need to operate on their clock. And, you know, they need to handle their business. The signings, the linebacker signings, they're both okay. We'll see. It's not nothing. It's something, but I kind of thought both. Okay. Yeah. Not overwhelmed, but happy they started to address the situation.
Yeah.
Was it Walker played at Pace High School. And, right there on the edge of Miami Gardens / Opa-locka. Like so close to the border that I think for years people, we refer to Pace as being in Opa-locka. So he looks like he looks more like a solid backup than a starter, but.
Yeah, it was interesting because he has very experienced. I mean, he has 75 starts. Walker 75 starts. He dealt with some injuries the past couple of years. Only played 12 games last year, but he was a starter in all those games. So it looks like just kind of, you know, again, like, we don't know everything about these guys. You know, you just kind of do a little research, but it looks like he's more of like a run defender, maybe a guy who can fit in the rotation on early downs. Jordan Brooks, again, he has that profile as a former first-round pick. He looks like more of a three-down linebacker, like really the kind of natural replacement for Jerome Baker. And I think that they needed somebody to kind of compliment David Long, who was really, really good against the run last year in his first season in Miami, but maybe not as as strong in coverage. Looks like Jordan Brooks has an athletic profile to kind of hold up in coverage and do some of the stuff that Anthony Weaver might ask. So yeah, I mean those were solid moves. I mean, I don't think like those were. I mean, I don't think the Dolphins really made like a sexy move yesterday. Like linebacker, center. I mean, inside linebacker. So like those aren't moves that are maybe going to like get you like out of your chair and or whatnot.
But they're necessary. They're so necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's strength up the middle. And you definitely lost something up the middle, obviously, with Christian Wilkins. So addressing the inside linebacker position and addressing the center position. I think center is probably one of the most underrated positions on an offense because centers do so much. And from the very obviously, common thing that everybody can see, they snap the daggone ball. And, you want to make a coach sweat, tell them, we're not really getting it done on the snap. To the more complex things they do as far as getting everything else organized on the line. I like they dealt with that. They, again, like we said, not sexy, but it does deal with positions of need, and it's strength at the middle on both sides of the ball. You're going to need that to win.
Yeah, I mean, I would say center is definitely not an underrated position in Miami. I mean, we've spoken a lot, and the Dolphins have spoken a lot about how important the center is for this offense. We saw how important it was when Connor Williams went down. The offense just truly wasn't the same. Like, they were able to, still make plays, but it wasn't the same after he got hurt. And obviously, there were other injuries in play. But that was a really big loss. And I think that it was notable that, on the first day, there were a lot of interior linemen and, offensive linemen that really got some big deals. I thought that it was notable that the Dolphins on the first day went out and made sure that, they get a possible, I thought that regardless of, I don't think that it would have been smart to wait for Connor Williams. I don't think that they were going to do that. They gave Brewer a 3-year, $21 million deal. It was 3 years, $21 million deal were the report. So that's starter money, whether it's, at center or whether it's maybe at, guard, because he does have that experience. I know our own Barry Jackson kind of threw it out there that, because, Brewer can play guard and center. Connor Williams used to play guard before he played center. He said that maybe you can't, throw out the idea that maybe they signed Connor Williams later on. But keep in mind, I mean, this is going to be a long, drawn out process of rebuilding this team. They're going to get $18.5 million June 2nd when the Xavier Howard cap relief like officially kicks in. If Connor Williams is still on the market, way after the draft and whatnot, and he wants to come back on a team friendly deal, maybe you can bring him back at center, you can bring him back at guard, and then play Brewer at center. I mean, I think that there's options there, but there's still a lot of holes to be filled. They still need to get a left guard and a right guard to replace Robert Hunt. They still need to get a cornerback. They might need to get a safety now. Maybe they need to get another wide receiver. Obviously, they added Johnny Smith, who we didn't really talk about that because that was kind of, I think that broke, either after we recorded or, the day after we recorded. But, they got a pass catching tight end, which is good. They had some playmakers. But there's still a lot of holes to be filled. And I know that they freed up about $30 million in cap space yesterday by restructuring, Jalen Ramsey, Zach Sealer, Alec Ingold, and Durham Smythe. And then they're going to get some more money from Teron Armstead's rework deal. But to fit in these deals that they just signed now, and then so make some more additions because they're going to need to do that, and then honestly re-sign their own because they got 26 free agents. Like, some of these guys are going to come back. There's still a lot of work to be done, but I would love to see them really shore up the trenches. You already lost Christian Wilkins. I know just from hearing and speaking to some of the draft Knicks and draft experts, it's not like a extremely strong class for players at Wilkins position. So maybe you do need to get a veteran guy who's maybe 60-70% of Wilkins, but you're going to get him at much less, a fraction of a price that he signed elsewhere. And definitely I'd love to see them jump on the offensive line market And get some guys in. You know, Chris Greer already said, like, hey, we're gonna have to add some guys regardless because we have three free agents and we already lost one. And, you know, maybe this Brewer signing signals that, you know, Williams won't be back. So I'd love to see them get some guys in. Again, it's all the moves won't be made this week because, you know, the Dolphins just don't have that cap space, that flexibility, you know, and it is going to be a drawn out process. But I thought that they were very solid moves. Like again, are the Dolphins better right now? You know, if you add in the four losses and three additions, and I guess you can throw Johnny Smith in there as well, are they a bigger team right now than they were, you know, when the season ended? I can't say that. But I still think that there is a window and an opportunity for them to be competitive, to retool. And again, we're not playing games for, what is it, March 12th while we're recording, another 6 months. Right. You know, let's be patient. Let's see what they can do. And you know, then judge the team when, you know, it's all, you know, presently, when it's all constructed, instead of, you know, overreacting after every move. It's natural. And I think they, you know, obviously there's an emotional connection to a lot of these homegrown talents and these guys that left. But you know, the Dolphins, they're gonna, you know, they're not just sitting and twiddling their fingers. They're making moves and bringing guys in. And we'll see what else they got under their sleeve, because you know, like I said, they do have a lot of holes to fill.
I don't, you know, it's not so much what's up their sleeve, it's what's in their wallet. And what's in everybody else's wallet?
Yeah, I'm saying, they're not gonna get some money for a while. So you gotta be patient there.
You know, and obviously, there's always a tendency to, you know, you react strongly because the early days of any kind of free agency period, you know, even this early tampering period, which I think it's great. I think it's great. We had the early tampering period, so now the illegal tampering just moves back a few days earlier, you know.
Yeah.
But the you know, there's always that initial reaction, and you know, yeah, let's see if they've got a, you know, let's see how they're gonna patch holes. And you know, I think with the defensive tackle position, it might not be a particularly strong draft, but you know, drafts are funny. You never know who slips and who
develops.
You know, if there's two guys who are worth a damn, and you know, one of them slips,
the Dolphins get them. Like, it doesn't matter that it wasn't a class. You got the guy who was strong.
Right, exactly. This is the start of a, you know, sort of a long restructuring, rebuilding, not rebuilding, but, you know, kind of renovation, more remodeling. It's not a,
yeah, I was going to say, I like that. It's not a rebuild. It's a
Right. We're on HGTV. It's not a tear down here. You know, we're just doing, they're just doing a few rooms, you know, updating, and dealing with some holes and some leaks. So the Johnny Smith, signing was interesting. And not just because he played at FIU, and it's probably I think you would argue probably the second best NFL player out of FIU, behind T.Y. Hilton. You know, it's a tight end the Dolphins might actually use. And he's, you know, certainly a veteran guy, but, you know, and so I think he fits what the Dolphins might, you know, kind of like to do, or might like to do more with their tight ends, to create and, you know, create some matchup problems. And, you know, other than having to, and still, I think that might, if that creates a matchup problem in the middle, then that creates even more space for, you know, your fly guys on the outside to do what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, the skill set definitely fits what the Dolphins are trying to do. Like, you look at, you know, the stats about him over the past 3 years, like, he leads all tight ends in yards after catch per reception. You know, my first things Tyreek said here is Mike McDaniel wants to get us drunk off the yak. He's great after the catch. He's physical. He breaks tackles. He's fast. So obviously, you know, that just all fits into what Mike McDaniel's vision is. But it's the fact that he's a tight end and the fact that now it allows you to kind of be a little more multiple and a little more diverse. Maybe you have, like, you know, shoot, we talked about them not using one tight end. Maybe you can, you know, throw in some two tight end sets because you still have Jerm Smythe and, you know, he's more of a blocker into, as opposed to being like a real receiving threat. So it makes them more multiple. And, you know, I remember I asked McDaniel about at the NFL scouting combine about like the growth of the offense. Like, do you need to kind of double down on what you do? Or, you know, kind of pivot because now teams have, like, you know, 2 years worth of film on you. And he said, you know, it's a constant evolution. He's like, we've never done the same thing, you know, back-to-back years, especially since I've been here. So now I think that this Jonnu Smith trade allows them to kind of lean into what they like to do, but also have kind of like different, you know, branches of it, like different offshoots of it. You know, they threw a lot of screens. I think they led the NFL or tied for first in the NFL in screen passes to wire, but it was also always to wide receivers. Now you can do right. that to your tight end and, you know, have it be like a different look that teams haven't seen. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see that, you know, the money that they gave to Jordan Brooks, I think that was probably the biggest deal they've given so far. You know, I think that'll probably be, I mean, if, who knows? But my guess is that'll probably be like maybe the biggest deal they give. You know, I think it was 3 years, $26.7 million, $30 million max volume. I think that's probably what we're going to see. And then some really like smaller deals. Like the Jonnu Smith deal was like 2 years, $8 million. Like, I mean, it's those are the types of deals yeah. that I think that we're going to see, you know, the low cost, high upside value signings that, you know, don't get the big headlines on day one. But, you know, in the middle of November, we're going to say, hey, like, good thing the Dolphins made that move when they did.
Right.
I think that that's – and that's the way they're going to have to kind of operate, at least for the time being now, because they just don't have they don't have, like, the facilities and the funds to be big spenders. You know, they have to kind of work around and work on a budget, ball on a budget, so to speak. So I think about that, like you said, I mean, we didn't talk about it last week because, you know, that was before that happened, you know, recorded before that happened. But I think that was definitely one of those type – those moves that, you know, it's high value, low cost. I think that we're going to see a lot more of those in the coming days and weeks for sure, and months. Because again, like I said, this is going to be a long, drawn out process for the Dolphins in terms of renovating. We won't say rebuilding this roster, but renovating the roster ahead of the 2024 season. All right, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins and Debt podcast. I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Reminder to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, and also subscribe to the Miami Herald. Barry and I were hard at work providing you with the latest Dolphins free agency updates. We've got our live blog. It's already posted for day two. So as the Dolphins make moves, as they potentially lose some guys, whatever Dolphins free agency developments there are, we will have it for you at the Miami Herald. So definitely shoot.
Subscribe.
Go to the Miami Herald website, bookmark the blog, and just refresh it every 5, 10, 20 minutes, whatever you want to do for your latest Dolphins updates. We'll be back next week to recap another week of Dolphins football and developments. But until then, you guys take care. See you.